An old friend that I haven't seen in a while. We must make absolutely no mistake about who we are. The starting point of who we are is that we are awakened awareness. We are awakened awareness, vast like infinite space. A pervasiveness and a spaciousness of total love, of total wisdom, of total compassion, of totally benefit intent. That's the starting point. Who we are is not something to be efforted for or achieved. We simply are who we are. And no matter what is going on within our awareness, it's all only the dynamic energy of that awareness and nothing else. So no matter what seems to appear in awareness, the peer view of awareness, all the points of view of awareness are only its dynamic energy and nothing else. So if we take ourselves to be somebody, that's just a point of view. There's never been a somebody who needs to be fixed or altered in any way. There's never been a personal identity that needs to be smashed, annihilated, done away with, rectified, refined, analyzed, transformed, or made into something else. We already are who we are, and nothing whatsoever can ever affect us as that. When we are born, all we are is undifferentiated awareness. We know nothing other than that, and we remain as that for all of our lives. Within the dynamic energy of awareness, self-knowing awareness that is the essence of every human being, the dynamic energy of that awareness appears as points of view. So there's the pure view of awareness with its points of view. And the pure view of awareness and its points of view are inseparable, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. And all these points of view, no matter what they are the pure space of awareness and nothing else. No matter what the point of view is that appears, it's like a mirage. No matter what its elements are, they are all nothing but pure space. If we took the entire sky and we configured all the letters of the alphabet out of it and then put it together in all kinds of configurations and forms into words, sentences, paragraphs, treatises, it would all still be pure space. What is pure space remains pure space. So that is the starting point of knowing who we are. We've never been anything other than that. We must allow ourselves to exist as we are outside all philosophical systems and constructs. Philosophical systems are entirely conceptual, and they are frameworks or frame of reference that bind us to the idea of somebody. When we just allow ourselves to be as we are, we relax any kind of notion that there is any kind of context or frame of reference in which we're trapped, and we simply be as we are. So in the Great Freedom Teaching, we focus on resting naturally without seeking anything. And all that means is that as each point of view arises, no matter what it is, we rest naturally as the essence of awareness, as the essence of awareness that is the essence of each perception. And as we do so, we more and more allow this reality of who we are. All points of view, no matter what they are like the flight path of a bird in the sky. They vanish naturally, leaving no trace. No matter what the point of view is, whether we've assessed it to be positive, negative, or neutral, it's empty, pure, and wholly positive. It's empty in that it's only the basic space of awareness. It's pure in that it's never been anything other than awakened awareness. And it's wholly positive in that its intent always is beneficial, as every point of view, no matter what it is awakened awareness, its intent is entirely beneficial. It's never been anything other than awareness. There's no intender or intended. There's only the pervasiveness of this beneficial intent that is the reality of awakened awareness. When we are born as self-knowing awareness in a human form, we remain as that self-knowing awareness for all of our lives. When we hear the concepts of others, the points of view of others, those are only the dynamic energy of our own awareness. But when we focus on those points of view as being who we are, we get lost in a maze of confusion of seeing points of view to be something other than awareness. We see only the vivid appearance or the description of the point of view rather than its essence of awareness. The two are inseparable. The vivid appearance and its essence as awareness are inseparable. They can never be separated. They do not come together and separate. There is no perceiver and perceived, no experiencer and experienced, no seer and no seen. There's only all-encompassing pervasive awareness as all points of view. And that is our only nature. That is the essence of our being. So that has to be the starting point. That has to be the starting point from which we begin. We must allow ourselves to be the love, the heart essence of every single perception. When we take ourselves to be somebody, we categorize all of the points of view of self-knowing awareness into positive, negative, and neutral points of view. And we see ourselves as an accumulation of these positive, negative, and neutral points of view. And when we take ourselves to be the accumulation of these positive, negative, and neutral points of view, then we fear ourselves. And in the fear of ourselves, in the fear of our own points of view, we destroy ourselves. We destroy our reality as love. We completely destroy our reality as love just by not resting naturally as we are. We take ourselves to be all these points of view because everyone else is doing that. And we forget entirely who we are. We start thinking about all the points of view, no matter what they are. And we get all involved in taking them to be real. So we must stop and rest. Just completely stop and rest. Rest is the essence of every single perception. Rest is that which has never been affected by anything. Rest is that which can't be affected by any of the descriptions in a dictionary. Rest is the heart essence of our awareness that is beautiful, complete, and perfect in itself, that has never been anything other than perfect love. This is the ultimate tenderness we can give ourselves, to just simply rest as the essence of every single perception as it arises. Without doing that, we will continue to involve ourselves in thinking that all kinds of points of view are real and that is who we are. And we will be pervaded by negativity. We will be pervaded by negativity. We'll be pervaded by fear of ourselves. And because we fear our own thoughts, sensations, feelings, and actions, then we automatically fear those of others. When we fear ourselves, we separate everyone else out and we fear them as well. As we destroy ourselves, we destroy others, you know, and we see this so much on our planet today. All of humankind must take responsibility for itself as awakened awareness. We must support each other in realizing this non-dual perspective. The non-dual perspective of awakened awareness is an immense power and force. It cannot be affected by anything. It is a realm that is beyond causality. It includes causality, but it's beyond causality. And because it is beyond causality, it is the essence of an immense power and force of benefit. When I realized who I am, and have always been 25 years ago, I had no context for it whatsoever. I wasn't seeking enlightenment. I didn't really even know that enlightenment was anything anyone could be or have or do or anything else. I had no cage of philosophical concepts about anything related to that. I just faced a time in my life where I had an incredible amount of turmoil, and I realized that all my doing, no matter what it was, had led to absolutely nothing. And I felt inundated, overwhelmed by all these points of view swirling around, emotions, thoughts, sensations, circumstances, people, places, and things. All kinds of things going on, and no matter what kind of strategy I put in place, it didn't work to make it feel better. It just didn't work at all. And I felt totally hopeless and powerless. I didn't know what to do about this strange stew of a tornado of all kinds of things going on within me. And when I reached the point of total hopelessness and bewilderment and despair, I suddenly realized that all these points of view, no matter what they are, have a common basis, an underlying basis or foundation. And I didn't even know what to call that. I just knew it was relief. When I rested as the essence of every perception, I felt and sensed great relief that was beyond anyone feeling or sensing anything. It was just the reality of everything that is. And because I was in such desperate straits, I rigorously rested as that relief without any kind of goal. It was the relief in itself. That was it. It was the realization of complete relief in every perception, freedom in immediate perception. That's all it was, without calling it freedom or anything else. It was just this pervasive reality of complete relief. And after 10 days of rigorously resting, all of a sudden, there was no need to rest. There was just no need to rest. Everything just is as it is. And in the realization of that, it was amazing to me. I thought, gosh, this is so incredible. Everyone is this. Everything is this. There's never been anything other than this beauty. And all I could say was, wow, wow, wow. I didn't have any, oh, this is Dharmakaya, or this is that, or this is the other thing. This is Sahaj Samadhi, or, you know, I didn't have anything to call it. This is the power of now. I didn't know what to call it. It was just complete relief, and the only thing then that came to call it was perfect love. I realized that the satisfaction and fulfillment I had been looking for in every point of view, that it was this heart essence of each point of view, that that's what it was and nothing else. And I thought, how wondrous this is. You know, this is so amazing. What is this? And how can everyone know that they are this? And I thought, well, maybe everyone already knows that they are this. And I'm the one who's been clueless. And I thought, you know, something as wondrous as this, as marvelous as this, there must be many people who know this and they've written about it. So I want to read everything that's been written about it. But, you know, the more that I did read, the more I saw that there was nothing really that described what was the reality that I had realized. And when I realized who I have always been, I realized that everything that we are as a human body is a decisive, definitive experience of the ultimate reality of what we are. So there's nothing excluded. Every thought, every feeling, every sensation, whether we judge it to be positive, negative, or neutral, is the heart essence of awakened awareness and nothing else. And when we exclude anything, like we think we have to get a better set of points of view, like better thoughts, better emotions, better actions in order to be who we are, we'll spend our entire lives trying to have better thoughts, better emotions, and better actions, but none of it will ever lead to what we are. If it did lead to what we are, everyone would be aware that they are awareness. everyone would be aware that they are awareness. If all the methods and practices worked for us to realize who we are, then everyone would realize that they are awareness. But you know, in all of my reading of every single thing I could get my hands on, I never found anything that conclusively described the reality that I had realized. I found many things that hinted at it. And the most direct and complete that I have seen that points to that, it doesn't mean certainly that this is the only one, is Dzogchen, the pinnacle teaching of Buddhism. And I realized that all of the cages of philosophy that make enlightenment into something somehow made it seem like it could only occur within a certain setting. And then it occurred to me that that certain setting in which enlightenment can occur is the human body. That's the most common setting. You know, we don't have to look for anything special. We really don't. All we need do is rest freely, rest naturally as the immediacy of every perception. All that means is when a point of view arises, no matter what it is, any word in the dictionary, we rest naturally as the vivid wakefulness that is the only reality of that perception. Awareness is constant as each perception. There is no perception that is without awareness. No perception whatsoever that is without awareness. There's no perception that exists elsewhere other than awareness. When we allow ourselves to rest just in a totally effortless way, without even trying to rest, we just realize this relief that is the essence of every single perception. Then more and more we familiarize ourselves with our natural state. So this is totally beyond any kind of thing like gradual or sudden enlightenment. It's totally beyond any kind of intellectual speculation. What always is, and it's completely beyond any of this nonsense about gradual and sudden. It just is what it is. And for a human being, we are free as the immediacy of every perception. When we're free as the immediacy of every perception, then without making enlightenment into some kind of state we achieve, then we're free no matter what perception arises. We strengthen ourselves as that freedom, the only freedom that is, which is freedom in immediate perception. And when we strengthen ourselves as that, we're prepared for any perception that arises, no matter what it is. Invasion of our country, loss of our bank account, oh, what a horror. You know, no matter what it may be. Or maybe we don't even have a bank account. Maybe we don't even trust those banks anymore. We have all our money buried somewhere under the mattress. But say that disappears too. You know, where are we then? Are we free in that immediate perception? Can we maintain our state of emptiness then? You see, if we make enlightenment into something, a state, emptiness, nothingness, non-existence, no self, a non-conceptual state, impartiality, fatalism, neutrality, even bliss and clarity. If we ever make it into anything, then we may have a perception that comes up that totally wipes out that point of view we've stabilized ourselves in. Because all these ideas about enlightenment, they're just anomalies of point of view. They're not the conventional point of view, but they're still within the purview of point of view. The only freedom there is this freedom, this immediate perception. This freedom of immediate perception that is timelessly free, so there's no structure of past, present, and future. In the timeless freedom that is the reality of this magnificent display, Here, 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 here. It's always timelessly free, but it can't be called anything. It can't be described as anything. It's the indescribable natural presence of an openness that is entirely indivisible. So how could we possibly describe that? All-inclusive awakened awareness means just that. It's all-inclusive. It's absolutely inclusive of everything, with no thing left out. The no thing, the thing, it just is the points of view that are the dynamic energy of awareness. The dynamic energy of awareness are inseparable from awareness, like the luster of gold and gold. The luster of gold can never be separated out from gold. All points of view, no matter what they are, they're like a rainbow in the sky. We can look at the rainbow, oh yes, wow, it's such a vivid appearance. It's so magnificent, it's really awesome. And we might have all kinds of points of view about the rainbow. Oh, I wonder where the end of the rainbow is. I wonder if there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. All these things we've heard. But no matter how much we tried to make the rainbow into something, we could never grab onto it. It's nothing but pure space. And such is so with each point of view. If we try to grab onto it, there's nothing there. Just try it right now. Try to grab onto one point of view. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. It's totally impossible because we're already free as every point of view. We're already free as every point of view. We don't have to do anything about the points of view. We don't have to meditate them away, twist ourselves into bodily postures that force them away. We need no force. We don't have to force awareness. Awareness already is. So we have to come into complete tenderness with ourselves and know that all our points of view, no matter what they are, we don't need to force anything about them. We just relax, be completely at ease as every point of view. Each point of view is its own undoing. It's completely its own undoing, like a line drawn in water. If we draw a line in water, well, where's the line? The line undoes itself, just like each point of view. It dissolves in and of itself. It's its own undoing. It's naturally free in its own place. It's the naturally occurring natural presence of awareness and nothing else. It's never been confined or constricted in any way. It's not a point of view with a line drawn around it. It's boundless, aware, basic space. Vast as the infinite sky. No matter how far we explored awareness, if we lived for 20 trillion years, we would never stop realizing the magnificent, marvelous obviousness of awareness as freedom and immediate perception, whatever those perceptions might be. So we have no destination. What is unborn doesn't dwell anywhere, nor does it cease. What is unborn, where would it dwell? And what would cease? What would come to an end? There is no beginning, middle, or end to any point of view. If we look at any point of view, we can't really find the beginning of it, the middle of it, or the end of it. It arises, abides, and is freed simultaneously, with nothing arising, abiding, or being freed. And when we rest as this heart essence of awareness that is total tenderness, self-love, we realize more and more the reality of what we are. Very often when we've taken ourselves to be someone to fear, in other words, fearing all of our thoughts, or many of them, fearing our emotions and fearing our actions, then when it comes to the matter of enlightenment, we do one of two things. One, we often overcomplicate it by seeking someone who can give us a message of enlightenment, who will support us in seeing ourselves as someone negative. In other words, you're an ego and you need to be smashed. You're a mind and you need to be fixed. But ego and mind, these are just other points of view. They're equal and even with all points of view. They're not different than dog or cat or cell phone or any other point of view. All points of view, no matter what they are totally equal and even. There's never been an ego or a mind or an identity that... Oh. Thank you, Johan. There never has been an ego or a mind or an identity that's a storage container for points of view. All there is, believe me, and I know you already know this, I can see it in your faces, all there is self-knowing awareness, inclusive of all points of view. There is no mind that needs to be refined or done away with. The mind is just a point of view. It's equal to every other point of view listed in the dictionary as being awakened awareness. So don't go anywhere where you have something that needs to be fixed. There's nothing to be fixed. You can count on me for that. I know that. You see, very often when enlightenment is realized, anything that has occurred up to that time is taken to be the cause of the enlightenment. So endless years of meditation or yoga or pujas or whatever it is. Well, if those things really led to enlightenment, then everyone who did them would be enlightened. So, you know, if we look into it with elementary discernment, we see that this can't possibly be the case. Can't possibly be the case. So, you know, and then the other approach is to oversimplify it. Just say, oh, all there is awareness. Everything happens spontaneously within it. It doesn't matter what you do. Just go around, do whatever you do. Take advantage of others. And you see, this isn't enlightenment either. Both of these are extremes. Both of these are extremes. There's a middle, though, that has no middle. And that middle is awakened awareness. That middle is self-knowing awakened awareness as every human being. And when we just rest naturally as that, we have the greatest realization that has ever been. Because when we rest naturally as awareness, what we're resting as is all great beings. That's what it comes down to. We're resting as the realization of all great beings. So you see, there aren't a bunch of great beings fragmented into this one and that one and the other one living now in the past and maybe in the future. The great one to come is going to save the world. There only is self-knowing awareness as global humankind. That's all there is. So when we rest naturally as that, we realize that for ourselves and we can support each other in that. We don't need any special people to support us in that. We can support each other in that. We already are that. So we just need to make that choice in each perception. Are we going to go into the story of all the points of view about it, or are we going to rest naturally as the essence of our being? When we persist in seeing ourselves as someone who needs to be fixed, and we go to teachings or we read books where that is upheld, that there's someone who needs to be changed, someone who needs to be better, then we spend our entire lives really in a suicide. The suicide of each point of view. With every point of view, we have this opportunity to realize ourselves as we really are. And when we realize ourselves to be as we are in one point of view, it doesn't mean that we have to go through countless trillions of points of view during our entire life resting naturally. When we rest naturally as the vivid wakefulness that is the reality of one point of view, it may take care of all the points of view. They may all resolve in aware basic space. Sometimes it happens that way. For others, it takes a gradual familiarization. It just is what it is. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Keep the focus on yourself and rest naturally as the essence of every single perception. And you will have the decisive realization that is the reality of every great being who already is you. So as long as we continue to bifurcate things and create dualities about them, saying, oh, this one is a great being, that one's an ordinary being, this one is a great being, this is an ordinary being who will have to live for countless lifetimes in order to be timelessly free. Even though we may be talking about a non-dualistic teaching, we're talking about duality. It's a dualistic teaching. It's as simple as that. If the starting point of a teaching is that there is someone who needs to be fixed, it's a teaching of duality. There is no one to be fixed, and there never has been. So the starting point has to be this freedom that is already the case, this freedom that is timelessly accomplished. There's no one to realize it. You know, all there is self-knowing awareness, resting as the heart essence of itself. All self-knowing awareness is, it's like this lamp in the room up here on the wall. When the room is dark at night and the light is turned on, it illuminates not only the room but itself. This is all self-knowing awareness is. When it's turned on through resting as freedom and immediate perception, then it illuminates the perception as ourselves, the awareness that is inseparable from the perception as ourselves, totally timelessly free, never restricted by anything, the natural settled reality that is the essence of our being. So see, we can never be taken out of this. It's impossible that we be taken out of this. If we've come to believe through adopting the mental concepts of others that we are this negativity within a skin line, that somehow, and we somehow need to get rid of all this negativity in order to be who we are, that's going to be impossible. Because you see, if we've described something as negative, that's just a label. And that label, we've already definitively and conclusively shown here today, that label only is awakened awareness. So when our points of view arise, no matter what they are, whether we've labeled them to be positive, negative, or neutral, when we rest naturally as the essence of that, then more and more we come into the completeness of love that we are. We realize this essence that is the reality of every single perception as ourselves. And as we realize that about ourselves, we feel a tremendous warmth arise in us. It's a physical warmth. A physical warmth. It's our natural state. It's the warmth that is the warmth of compassion and wisdom, love and bliss that are inherent. It's our natural way of being. But we can't know it if we take all the points of view to be real. And especially those points of view about enlightenment. If we take those to be real, wow, then we're going to be in a real pickle. You know what a pickle is? It's a pickle, something you can't get out of. When you're in a pickle, you can't get out of it. So if you take enlightenment to be something and you're trying to achieve a state or get to some kind of destination for what already is, then that's just going to be more points of view about, oh, there's something wrong with me, I can't get enlightened. Like, there's something wrong with me, I can't get enlightened. I need to move to India, or I need to do this or do that in order to get enlightened. But, you know, that's just like being in, where's a good place to be? Name a place to be that's a good place to be. Hawaii. Hawaii, did you say? Oh, Hawaii, that's a very nice place to be, I agree. Well, say you're in Hawaii. And you walk up to somebody and you say, I really want to know how to get to Hawaii. Can you tell me how to get to Hawaii? And they say, well, you know, if you go to India, then you can get to Hawaii. Or if you travel east for 26,000 miles, then you can get to Hawaii. Or if you meditate for 30 years, then you can get to Hawaii. Or if you do yoga, you know, for 2 hours a day, then you can get to Hawaii. Or if you chant mantras, then you can get to Hawaii. Well, you don't want to be talking to anybody like that. You want to talk to someone who will say, you're in Hawaii. You're in Hawaii, friend. You're in Hawaii. Just relax. You're in Hawaii. Jump in the hammock and relax. So, wherever you are, you are. Wherever you are, you are. And wherever you are, all you are is that perception. There's not a somebody having a perception. There's only awareness as every perception. Self-knowing awareness as every perception. So just get used to it. You're in Hawaii. You already are a sublime realm. Your sublime realm, and this is all human life is about, the realization of the sublime realm we already are. So, you know, when we really want that for ourselves, when we want that, the evidence of that to be fully evident, then we definitely want to talk to someone who says, you're already in Hawaii. Not only are you in Hawaii, but you're in the best hotel in Hawaii. And it's all paid for. Now I have to tell my dream about my dream of air awareness. Some of you have heard this, but bear with me. I had a dream where I walked into an airport and there were all these ticket counters, Lufthansa, Singapore Air, Varig, TWA. Is there still TWA? I don't even know. All Air France, all the airlines of the world. And the ticket counters were all very crowded, and there was one ticket counter, and there was no one at the ticket counter, and the name of the airline is Air Awareness. And the whole ticket counter was like this incredible color of blue, brilliant blue, and all the fittings on the ticket counter were solid gold. And on Air Awareness, all the planes were the same way, this beautiful blue color, and all the fittings were solid gold. And all the seats on Air Awareness are first class. All the seats on Air Awareness are first class. And not only that, the tickets don't cost anything. They're completely free. And no matter how many people get on the airplane, there's always room for more. So you see, this is Air Awareness, the empty ticket counter that is totally free, available to everyone, no matter how many people partake. there's room for more.
Where do you go to?
Nowhere. They already are where they are. Complete with they're the treasure, you know, the treasure of every single perception. So every single perception is a treasure trove. It's a treasure chest of aware basic space. But when we take it to be something, its description, then it isn't realized to be that. So just rest. Rest is best. That's the only message here. There's nothing to do. No more effort. Any questions? Or anyone who would like to come up and share about living as awareness may do that too. Oh, I could read this beautiful card from Shoshana. Thank you, Shoshana. The heart of awareness, that's what's in the center. Awareness, awareness, awareness all around. There is a strange new energy awakening in my heart. The birds are flying everywhere, singing their songs of love. I experience laughter in the opening of a rose, each particle from Mother Earth circulating and pulsating her rainbows of colors like a surreal wonderment. Is the one I love everywhere. God bless you, Candace, for showing me a shortcut for coming out of the suffering of points of view. I love you, Shoshana.
Thank you, Shoshana.
Oh, the suffering of points of view. This is so easy, really. You know, you don't even have to rest to tell you the truth. Just keep turning up here, and you'll be convinced. There are people here who know you don't have to rest, right, Adrian? Adrian didn't want to do anything but sleep, and I said, that's okay.
If my voice gets funny, it's because I've been smiling so much, my jaws are aching. It's really, it's like I've got a locked jaw. There's a marked difference between Shoshana's beautiful letter and what I'm going to say. It'll just be monotone, and I say the same thing every time, so I'll give you the abridged version. I came to India with a head full of concepts. I'd done lots of reading and been to lots of satsangs, and I was just miserable, and I came to see Candace, and well, I can't really remember what the first thing she said, but pretty soon she said, all you need to do is relax. That's ridiculous. So I didn't believe her at all, not, you know. And she said, if you don't want to do that, which is ridiculous, I mean, everyone wants to relax, just turn up. So all you've got to do is turn up, you just don't have to do anything. Really, seriously. And so, I mean, yesterday I had such an amazing, I think Shoshana's letter said something about some weird energy or something. And I just want to go, wow, because you've got to do it. You've got to do the 12, I've done the 12 inquiries and all the other courses. Yes, you've got to do it. You don't have to do anything. But I would suggest that you just turn up, basically, for as much as you can. Because I've gone from thinking that I was very morose and miserable all the time to walking around feeling fantastic and just grinning all the time. So, which possibly might not be a good thing, but it feels great. So, yeah.
What do you feel? And, excuse me, where do you feel it is a particular place?
Well, when I came to Great Freedom, I had a complete underlying anxiety and frustration that had been with me all my adult life, just here. And no, I don't feel it anywhere, this ease. It's just it just is. It's very hard to describe. But it's worth just turning up and doing nothing to get it, because you just don't have to do anything. So just do that. That's what I did.
Would anyone else like to share?
Some of you heard my husband share the other day about his cancer and what went on with that. And I just wanted to share that before I came to the Great Freedom Teaching, I was extremely afraid of things, people, very self-centered. And Tony had knee surgery at one time. And he was on crutches for 3 days. And the third day, he had asked me for a ride to the doctor the first day, the second day. The third day, he needed a ride. And I said to him, don't you have any friends? Don't you have anybody who can give you a ride somewhere except for me? I mean, I have things to do. And he said, you know, Heather, I hope that I never get really sick, because I know that if I do, you will not be able to be there for me. And he was right. You know, I mostly, my focus was really on being good, being a good person and being comfortable. But being comfortable definitely came before being good. If you wanted something from me and I didn't want to give it, then being comfortable was more important than being good. I was not going to go there. And when I came to Candace, I just was so uncomfortable with my life. I was so, even though there was a tremendous amount of goodness, you know, this love and ease and joy that we all are was really evident sometimes, but not all the time. And there were things going on in my life, relationships that, you know, with my family, I had been in therapy for 23 years trying to affect good relationships with my family, and yet still I would end up slamming the phone down in the middle of a conversation and or, you know, maybe even throwing it against the wall. And I just thought, I really didn't know that much about enlightenment, but I knew there was something. And I, at the time, I referred to myself as Christo-pagan with Hindu-Buddhist affections, because I was seeking everywhere to try and find this freedom. But I wasn't finding it because I was seeking it. So Candace just basically told me to relax and really get off my position of myself and my own comfort, really, and that in this matter of the heart, that everything is this, everyone, everything is the heart. So whatever I'm doing, I'm doing in service, not only to that, but as that. And that just makes everything so incredibly easy and enjoyable. So even things like being sick or serving somebody else, it's all very comfortable and comforting. So I think I have seen everybody that's come to this teaching, everyone who's come here. And it seems like though there could never be an obstacle because everything is the heart. But it seems that for many people, the greatest obstacle is just an idea of what awakening is or what it's supposed to look like or what it's supposed to feel like. And then all of these traditions that are, that with such authority and tradition behind them say, well, this is what you have to do, or this is the way it's supposed to look, or this is the way it looks for this one. But all of that has to be let go. It doesn't even have to be let go. You can let go or not. But it is as it is. It's kind of like, you know, I at one point I thought, God, you know, someone who in the United States, there are people who really believe that white is best. White is best, and that's the way it is. So if one is raised that way, then that's all they know. Oh, white is best. It's best to be white. Nobody else is, you know, if you're not white, then you're no good. Well, then, you know, you come into the world and you meet other people who say, oh, no, you know, we're all the same. White, black, yellow, red, all the same. And then maybe you meet someone who's black and you really love them. You know, they become a friend. So then you look into this belief system. Oh, well, you know, everyone that I loved and trusted told me that white is best and it's the only way to be, and everyone else is wrong and bad. Well, you know, then we discern this for ourselves. And it's the same here. It's like no matter what anybody told me, the lived evidence is right in front of me. The lived evidence was right in front of me here. And then I hopped on board the rocket ship, and then the lived evidence was right here. And then my husband, who the first time he met Candace, greeted her like this. Who are you? Then my husband jumped on board because I started being nice to him. You know, and then my family came to visit me and came to Satsang. My mother said, well, I came because I wanted to know what this thing is that gave my daughter back to me. And my sister said the same thing. So then my best friend came, and now she's a great freedom teacher, and all of you are here. You know, it's just so amazing. So this thing of really supporting and encouraging each other in who we are is so beautiful, and it's really very important. And it's so much easier than the speculation of, is this true? Am I awareness? No, I couldn't possibly be. Well, maybe I am. You know, forget it. You are. So enjoy it, and thank you so much for being here. Look at this room full of people. You know, we, pretty soon, the whole world.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you. Yes.
How does it become a reality and not just words?
It already is a reality, so it doesn't become a reality. It is a reality. It just dawns on you more and more that that's what you are.
And leaving the room today, suppose I wasn't to come back, how could I allow it to dawn? What could I do or not do or to allow that to happen?
Rest naturally within every perception, that's all. However, if you have the support of other people who are resting naturally, it's a lot easier. It's just like, well, this morning I looked at MSN, the homepage, and everything on the homepage of MSN was negative. Bird flu in India and France, war in Iraq, cancer, this, that, and the other thing. Well, see, this is all conventional belief systems and assumptions that focus on the negative. Our media is filled with this. And as we expose ourselves over and over and over again to that, we take ourselves to be that. We take ourselves to be caught up in this turmoil that we can't get out of. So, you know, when we want to be free of that, then it's nice to hang out with other people who are free of that. It's so simple. It's just like, if we want the evidence of point of view to be a reality in our life, then we place ourselves in the company and the circumstance of a bunch of points of view. When we begin to rest naturally, it's really great to allow ourselves the time to strengthen that in ourselves. And then soon we can be in any circumstance, because freedom isn't circumstance dependent. So there's a notion today that you can just read a book and be awareness, or, you know, practice a few tricks and gimmicks and arrive at a mental conclusion that you are awareness. But I've never known any of that to be true enlightenment. True enlightenment equals complete benefit. Complete enlightenment equals complete benefit. When the warmth of compassion and bliss and wisdom that are primordially, fundamentally, already naturally occurring arise, that's the tangible evidence and sign in the body that one really is that. When the thinking, these are practical things, when the thinking and speaking and actions aren't totally focused on self, and one's own personal comfort zone, and they relax, and more the thoughts, the speaking, the action, or the benefit of the whole, that's sign and evidence of awakened awareness. Anything else is just an anomaly of point of view. It's within the matrix. It's within the matrix. Yeah. So you already are who you are, and It's just easier to hang out with other people who realize the same thing. So, you know, the Great Freedom Community is worldwide. It's a web of the non-dual perspective that is increasingly surrounding the earth. But it isn't caught within the bias of any tradition of religion or spirituality or science or anything else. We focus on the reality of what it means to be human. And because it isn't trapped within any philosophical bias of any kind, the non-dual perspective of Great Freedom is a tremendous voice, just a tremendous voice of humankind that can greatly inform and affect what's happening in the world. You see, we've tried everything we possibly can within the realm of cause and effect, within the realm of points of view, to try to come to some kinds of solution for ourselves, for our families, for our community and world. But all of this doing from point of view, it's led absolutely nowhere. It's just led to a worsening of the problems, increasing world tension, increasing animosity among people, increasing population and less food to eat, or just some of the people in the world eating all the food. Nuclear warheads pointed everywhere. There's nowhere that a nuclear warhead isn't pointed at. Probably not even Antarctica. There's probably something in Antarctica that some nuclear missile wants to get. the increasing environmental disaster, the oceans rising, the ozone layer depleting, the rivers of great countries like China completely polluted, the hillsides denuded, China invading other countries now to like Tibet too, because it so desperately needs resources. So, you know, all of these things that we, when we continue to look at everything from points of view, this nation against that nation, this person against that person, this race against that race, this religion against that religion, all of this is within the realm of cause and effect, within the realm of duality. And none of the problems can be solved within the realm of cause and effect, but we already are beyond cause and effect. So that means that anything any being has ever done, we're capable of, because we are all beings. We're all beings already. All-inclusive awakened awareness is inclusive of all points of view. So anything you've ever read about that any great being has done, it's within your potency as well to benefit in a similar way. But first we have to realize ourselves as the powerful store of force that we are. All awakened awareness not only cuts through all our own points of view, but all points of view, no matter what they are, all points of view resolve in aware basic space. And then that aware basic space, because it's not fettered by anything, because it's not caught up in all kinds of biases, can see clearly. It has a balanced view. When your perspective includes all points of view, that's a balanced view. And from that balanced view and the entire force of that, there's something new that can arise that's entirely beyond causality, like the Great Freedom Teaching. You know, that doesn't have any need to put itself into any category, that's neither oversimplified or overcomplicated, that it's beyond any speculation about a destination to arrive at or a development stage. So you see, this is the reality of what we are in every single moment. We are that great force that cuts through the solidity of every point of view, that knows every point of view as its own dynamic energy and not as something that can get us. So if you want to go off and do it on your own, that's an option, but it's very difficult to do. With all that bird flu out there. Yeah. Well, you know, I hadn't actually looked at any news at all since I'd been in India, and I guess I've been here a couple months. And so when I looked at the MSN homepage this morning, I was actually looking for a report on the Rolling Stones concert in Rio. That's what I really wanted to see, but it wasn't there. The party wasn't there. It was just all this other stuff, and it just it reminded me of the pervasiveness of this negative outlook, and how when we perpetuate this ourselves as being some kind of negative creature, then we see other people as negative, other nations as negative. And pretty soon all our newspapers and news reports are filled with only negativity. But we have the end of that right here. You know, we have the end of that right here. So it's up to us and who we take ourselves to be. If we take ourselves to be someone who isn't already complete, then we won't be complete. I cannot overemphasize how urgent and important this is for each of us. It's just like in Shoshana's letter, or Adrian's account, or Heather's, or my own. We really need to familiarize ourselves with who we are and share that openly with each other as the reality of what's going on, rather than everything else that we may have taken ourselves to be. Did I answer your question?
Quite well, yes.
Other questions or comments? Wilson. Speak up, Wilson. You have the voice of the cosmos at your disposal.
Hearing you talk about the negative of the news and not reading it or whatever, and also hearing you talk about the being with other people in the great friendship. This is part of strengthening, I guess, this perspective. Or then I also hear you say that strengthens it, and then it's not so hard to be that outside of it. I guess that what comes up for me is this a fragile thing, or is this an impervious thing once this perspective is realized? Because it seems to me that perspective suggests that there would be nothing to be defensive about, and nothing to avoid, like the news, or that none of that could impact in a negative way.
That's correct. You are already impervious and unaffected by all bad news. Because all bad news, no matter what it is only a point of view that's already resolved in basic space. But unless you know yourself as that, then you're going to take the bad news to somehow affect you and affect your well-being. You're going to see the bad news as something separate from you that can somehow affect you or threaten your well-being in some way. You'll take yourself to be a personal identity that can be affected by bad news, that maybe the bird flu might happen to me, or maybe another country might invade my country, or maybe I might get cancer. So all the news will be related to this personal identity, increasing the fearful perspectives associated with that personal identity. So you see, initially it's very powerful for us to rest for short moments many times in a completely uncontrived way and strengthen that in ourselves as the reality of what we really are. And then as we strengthen ourselves more and more, we can be in any situation. This is totally natural. Now, once in a great while for someone, boom, it happens just like that. But it's so exceedingly rare. Why wait around for that when the tried and true way that's been passed down for 17,000 years is right here? Natural rest. Rest is best. Rest naturally without seeking anything. And place yourself in a circumstance where that will be encouraged.
What was that reference to 17,000 years?
Well, this is nothing new. What's presented in the Great Freedom Teaching is nothing new. It's just that this is the first time in human history that it's been spoken in a language that anyone can understand. In other words, any human being on earth can acknowledge that they are aware. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm aware. There's no one who can say I'm not aware. And it's a very short learning curve, so to speak, to seeing that awareness is the constant in every perception. So for 17,000 years in Tibet, the same teaching has been given, but it's cloaked in many kinds of garments. So that it's very culturally specific to Tibet. But outside Tibet, the terms and the language and the entirely visionary culture and vision-based culture of Tibet is very, very foreign. So the Tibetans love the Great Freedom Teaching. It's being translated as quickly as it comes off the printer or sent by email. So the Tibetan Lamas love the Great Freedom Teaching. So, you know, and they recognize it as the same teaching. And this teaching, too, is the epitome teaching of Hinduism, not just the epitome teaching of Buddhism, that rest is best. That everything that occurs within awareness is simply a point of view or phenomenon, as it's called in Buddhism. And that all those phenomena are timelessly free. And that even the points of view of Buddhism, like karma, reincarnation, they've never existed. That's the ultimate teaching of Buddhism. That all of its doctrine has never existed. So why not start with that, huh? But you know, the Buddha lived for 50 years, so and he was an emanation of compassion. And so in living for 50 years, he met many, many, many different kinds of people. And some of the people, they didn't want to rest. They wanted methods and practices. So compassionately, he gave them methods and practices. But you know, we don't have any time for that anymore. We don't. There's no time. I can say with laughter.
What is qualified as rest, if not meditation?
Rest is just the essence of every single perception. It's complete rest. It's that which is at ease, the awareness that is the essence of every perception. If we meditate without resting as the essence of every perception that arises in meditation, then we'll just be trying to get ourselves into some kind of a state, a non-conceptual state, or watching the breath, or watching the thoughts or feelings. But why not just rest as that which is aware of the non-conceptual state, which is aware of the breath, which is aware of the sensations in the body or whatever it is. So when we rest as that which is the essence of all these other perceptions, then there's complete freedom in the moment of that perception and the immediacy of that perception. But any other kind of meditation usually doesn't lead to freedom. If it does, it's coincidental. Otherwise, everyone who meditated would be free. But you see, what's put out is that there's something wrong with you if you don't achieve enlightenment through meditation. But the real crux of the problem is that it's the practice. It's the practice and the teaching. It's not you. You're already fine. You're already perfectly fine. There's nothing about you that needs to be fixed. And you already know that.
But does this rest take a form? I guess that's more the question.
No. It doesn't have a form. It's the ease, complete ease as every perception. So we know whether we're completely at ease as every perception or not. We know that. We can tell. We have an automatic biofeedback mechanism where if we're not at ease, then we're uptight. If we are at ease, we're just at ease. You know, and when we experience this ease as every perception, that's total freedom. Then there's no perception whatsoever that we have that can take us off course. Say we go to Nepal to get our documents stamped after we've been here for 6 months and we get captured by the Maoists. Well, you know, where's our meditation then? You know, but when we have freedom as immediate perception, it doesn't matter what happens. We're free as that perception. So, you know, there is only one culture in the world that has a tradition of that's been documented for 17,000 years that talks about this, and that's Tibet. And in Tibet, there have been millions of people who have realized who they are. So why not do what has worked for most people rather than continue to do things that work for practically no one? And also, in the teachings that talk about natural rest as the straight-ahead method, the direct method of realizing who we are, the kinds of realizations that there are ones of immense benefit, of tremendous benefit, not just among lamas, but among ordinary people as well, where there are all kinds of powers evident. These are powers that are naturally occurring. They're not achieved through enlightenment. They're already inherent in every human being. But we can't possibly realize that unless we realize who we are. And that is only freedom in immediate perception. If we're looking for freedom anywhere else other than in immediate perception, there can never be freedom. Unless, you know, there's some kind of rare thing that happens. But, you know, that kind of rare explosion of total reality, maybe it happens one in a billion people, but probably not even that. So why wait around for that? Why not just be that reality? Be that reality that's totally free as every perception. Name one of your points of view that's arising right now.
Well, I just, right now, mine's trying to equate if you mean immediate perception is the same as direct experience or not.
I'm talking about, well, first of all you are is awakened awareness, the pure view of awakened awareness. And within that awareness, its dynamic energy appears as points of view. That's all that's ever going on. So an experience is a point of view. Meditation is a point of view. You are a point of view. All these are points of view and awareness. There is no you who is a storage container for all the other points of view. There's only you as self-knowing awareness, inclusive of all points of view. So if the point of view that arises is something about direct experience, rest as that perception. If the point of view is the point of view of meditation, rest as that perception. That's the meditationless meditation. The meditation that ends all meditation. And for most of us, we've been so deluged by all these points of view we take to be ourselves that it can seem difficult to do this. But if you rest as one perception, it will put an end maybe to all perceptions and maybe to just a whole lot of them. But you see, if you rest naturally as one perception, then automatically many perceptions will be realized to be timelessly free, already free. Good, there's nothing to understand. What's most important is to, like Adrian said, keep turning up. Take the evidence of others if you don't find it in yourself. You know, it's just like borrowing somebody else's faith. I have infinite faith, borrow my faith. That you already are who you are and there's nothing to do. There are all these kinds of pockets of people these days, especially in India, who are really focused on enlightenment and have all kinds of ideas about enlightenment. But you definitely don't want to place yourself in what I call enclaves of the desperate. You know, people who are endlessly seeking enlightenment. What you want to do is place yourself in a circumstance where people are really realizing who they are and the full evidence of it is permanent. In other words, it can't be affected by anything. There are all these awakenings these days where people are awake maybe even for a number of years. They have total freedom and then something happens and boom, that's the end of it. And you know, this is a great thing for us to know, because the only freedom there is freedom in immediate perception. If when the awakening occurs, there has been the teaching of freedom in immediate perception, then someone who is awake, who has something off the wall happen, like the Chinese invading Tibet or whatever it is, then they're prepared for that, just like so many Tibetans were when they were subjected to invasion and slaughter. You know, I told a story yesterday about one Tibetan Lama who, they came to round him up and all his monks and the Chinese, and they were marching him off to prison, and he didn't want to go. He had already realized this complete enlightenment, this complete benefit. You know, he came out of nowhere, just a poor boy from Tibet, to become a great lama, and he emanated all kinds of benefit through his teaching activities and writing and building places for study and practice. And so they came to round him up, and he didn't want to go, so he just started chanting, Om Ahum Vajra Guru Padma Siddhi Hum, which is the chant of the power of awakened awareness. Well, now you could say that chant until you were blue in the face if you were all wrapped up in your points of view and nothing would happen. But he started chanting it and they just thought he was a madman. You know, they thought, oh, this monk, you know, what does he know? We don't even need to shut him up because we can't. So he just kept chanting and all of a sudden, before you know it, he flew up into space about 200 feet and dissolved into light. You know, everyone there saw it, the Chinese military and all the monks, that was it. He completely resolved his beneficial intent in basic space. So you see, when we hear stories like that, we can just treat them as curiosities, or we can really get down to brass tacks and realize that's the reality of what we are. We already are that. But you see, he was totally free in immediate perception. Totally free in immediate perception. There wasn't anything about any perception that arose, any point of view that arose, in any moment of that, that he was not free as. All points of view were already resolved in the basic space of who he is. All points of view, no matter what they are, they're basic space and nothing else. So if we take them to be something that can get us something, that can get us enlightened or get us some other kind of satisfaction or fulfillment, then we won't realize that they're just basic space. They're just basic space, the reality of our own awareness, vast as the infinite sky. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever met any Tibetan Buddhists, but they're always bubbling with joy, you know, like, but they look like they're going to burst with joy, like Ray, Adrian in the back there, they look like they're going to burst with joy. When you see them, you have to put on your sunglasses, they're so bright. You know, so when it comes to waking up, we want to be around people like people here in this room who are, look like they're ready to burst from the joy. That there's just so much radiance that's already evident through this reality of being who we are. There's nothing to do. And this is said over and over again, but it's very rare to be in a circumstance where the key points and pivotal instructions can decisively point one to that. Not only introduce one to that, but also ensure that the full evidence of it become real. And nothing needs to be done. What's, you know, here, right here? What is right here, the reality of what is right here is so clear. There's no ruminating about the past or worrying about the job in the future or anything else. There's just, whew, whoosh. That's it. Basic space.
My question, I have a question about this, what you're saying about this pure radiance, because isn't to think that it should always look like that, isn't that making it a fixed position? And is it everything always waxing and waning? Or is it like if you're in radiance, then you get something, and then if you some other movement comes through, you've lost it? Or is that darker movement also part of
the,
what always is?
What you call the dark movement, it is pure awareness. It's just been labeled as something, but it's always aware, basic space. And radiance, I don't call anything radiance. It's just a word I happen to use. Pure awareness is totally indescribable, yet any description at all is pure awareness, no matter what it is. But one of the things that is proselytized today is that, oh, all the dark movements are pure awareness, so just do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You don't need to make commitments or anything. Everything's pure awareness, spontaneous. Do whatever you will and that kind of thing. But that really isn't freedom. That's not freedom at all. In total, complete freedom, it's always as though one's conduct is before the highest judge of awareness. It's not acting in all kinds of untowards ways that are not beneficial to oneself or to others. So yes, all the positive, negative, and neutral points of view, no matter what they are, they already are pure awareness. They already are pure awareness. Any label, whether it's radiance or murder, it's pure awareness. But if we know something only by its label or description, then that's all we know about it. But if we know it as awareness, vividly appearing as radiance or murder or whatever it is, that's an entirely different matter. That's complete freedom. Because as that, we are completely beyond causality. Completely beyond causality. We include cause and effect. But we're beyond causality. You see, cause and effect cannot see that which is beyond causality, but that which is beyond causality is inclusive of all, including cause and effect. Methods and practices are all within the realm of cause and effect.
How do you experience physical pain?
Self-knowing awareness as pain. Pain is pain. Then it's self-knowing awareness as hurt, you know. But there's no need to make anything out of it. You know, I used to be all wrapped up in all my aches and pains. But, you know, if I told you how many aches and pains I have today, you'd want to make a little bed for me to lie down on. But you see, the perception of pain and suffering is only there as long as the perception is there. There's no perception that's a permanent perception. If there were a perception of pain that was a permanent perception of pain, within 5 minutes we'd go stark raving mad. But the only perception of anything, it's instantaneously occurring. It appears like a line drawn in water. And it disappears in and of itself. You know, the moment a line is drawn in water, it's abiding and disappearing simultaneously. So all points of view, no matter what they are of the same nature, they just completely vanish naturally, leaving no trace. And you know, if I describe before and after, before I realized who I have always been, I'd get all wrapped up in my personal ideas of suffering and pain. And then I would take that on as my identity. You know, I'm sick, I'm suffering, I'm this, I'm that. But things aren't fixed like that. If we try to fix things like that and make them into some kind of fixated thing, then we suffer all the more. But, you know, to be totally free as all aches and pains, that's total freedom. If we're all wrapped up in any point of view, whether it's our aches and pains or anything else, then we're in a constant ache. We're in constant heartache, that's what we're in. We're in heartache. We're desperately searching for love and completeness and satisfaction and fulfillment, but we can't ever find it. But at the same time, anything that we label, we're already timelessly free as that. We're not separate from it. These teachings that indicate that there is some kind of perceiver and perceived or experiencer or experience that needs to be done away with, those are teachings of duality. They're not teachings of non-duality. All there is self-knowing awareness. And all the magnificent display of its dynamic energy is it. That's all that's going on. There's nothing in the way. There's no middle level that needs to be done away with. No nastiness that needs to be gotten out of the way. There's only awareness as all points of view, no matter what their label is. All points of view, no matter what they are already resolved in aware basic space. So, you know, the idea that we are somebody who's here, when we just rest more and more, we realize we're vast. We're vast as space, but we don't need anything to hold on to or describe about that. We just are as we are. The spaciousness of every single point of view. Wilson?
I'm curious as to whether you did your own experience before there were any more, or since there were 25 years ago, whether you've experienced any physiological change in people. Similar, but in that everybody could attain it, but in looking at his history, he had a single of the process, which you presumably was completely awakening. So I'm curious as to whether you experienced anything physiologically like that, either before or after you came to this awareness.
Well, I could say all kinds of things and then attach them as a description of what happened, but my own realization is that Kundalini is a point of view. That's all it is. It's equal to any other point of view. There are no special points of view that are better than other points of view. No bodily states that are better than other bodily states. Intense physical suffering and kundalini are equal in being awakened awareness. You see, there are many great teachings that point to something, that can talk eloquently about a state or a reality or enlightenment or whatever it is that we can be in. Many absolutely eloquent ways of speaking about that that have been handed down through the ages. However, it is exceedingly rare that that can be pointed out in a very direct way and brought into full evidence. That is exceedingly rare. So, you know, all these other things, it's just talk. It's just, these are all just points of view, no matter what they are. The spiritual and the non-spiritual are equally awakened awareness. Spiritual points of view and non-spiritual points of view are equally awakened awareness. If we think we have to get good spiritual points of view and have a context within which to describe everything according to that, then we'll be lost in space. We'll still be space, but we'll be lost in space. We'll still be pure space, but we'll be completely lost in space. So see, all these, just rely on your own direct experience, your own direct experience of who you are. And hang out and talk to people who are realizing that about themselves or have already realized the full evidence of it in themselves. You want to talk to those people, you know, people who are alive today and who can describe it in a way that any human being can understand. See, if I was sitting here talking about Kundalini, well, almost no one on the face of the earth would want to hear about that. But if I talk about awareness, fully evident awareness, everyone can relate to that. So, yeah.
Along the same question, if I have a bodily experience of Kundalini and that is a point of view, residing in basic space, just like a bodily experience of pain, but Kundalini feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Also a point of view.
Right.
I think I'm getting into the habit of sort of like resting with every point of view. And then even the things that feel good, that I enjoy, I'm sort of blanking out of everything. And so I'm feeling pretty vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Also a point of view.
Right. All these things that come up, they're just all points of view. And the more we rest and put an end to all this commentary about everything that's going on, the more everything just resolves in the spaciousness and pervasiveness of what we are. The being vacant is just a point of view. It's not something permanent or some kind of state you've entered into. It's just a point of view. But if you take yourself to be vacant, then you will be vacant. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
But the reality of freedom and immediate perception is that all perceptions are included. So this is really great. The Kundalini and the pain are equal. They're equal in being awakened awareness. They're equal in being timelessly free. So you see, this is definitely for people who, this teaching is definitely for people who require no mental concepts and are completely at the end of their rope with trying to put everything in place to get enlightened. You know, if you need any mental concepts like getting into Kundalini experience or any other thing, then this isn't really the place for you. But I know you really are realizing what is true about this. It's so amazing because we've learned from other people that some of our thoughts are good, some of our sensations are good, and some of our emotional states are good, and that a lot of them are neutral, and that really, quite frankly, a lot of them are bad. And because we can never, no matter how hard any of us have tried, bring to an end our badness, our negativity, we all end up feeling like we're bad. So then we have adopted this point of view about that we're someone who needs to be fixed. We somehow need to be fixed. Some of our perceptions need to be fixed. Well, as long as we think that some of our perceptions aren't okay and they need to be fixed, then we'll be in endless suffering. We'll be in endless suffering seeing ourselves as someone who needs to be fixed. So it's usually easiest for people to realize that positive and neutral points of view. Yeah, they're pure awareness. We can see that. That's easy. But the negative points of view, that might feel like more of a stretch, only because we've heard over and over and over again that we need to fix ourselves, that, you know, we're a defective character and we need to be fixed. So this, when we rest naturally as all these afflictive states or negative states, and we realize that these two are just points of view equal to every other point of view, then we really begin to taste total freedom.
So if Kundalini arises without me doing, Kundalini is there, and I can notice and rest that it is a point of view without putting any stories in it, and just wait for it to stay or go, is that fixating on a point of view, or is that just knowing it?
It's just resting as it, you know, whatever it is, whether it's Kundalini or walking down the street, looking in the shopping stalls. Yeah. Everything already is vanishing in and of itself. It's its own undoing. None of these things can we hold on to, even if we try. And when we just rest as the vivid wakefulness that pervades everything, then we realize that clearly. We've never been anything other than awakened awareness. Self-knowing awareness, that is the identity of a human being. Mark my words.